As I mentioned earlier, we had a tremendous time in the Sunday School Hour, and I appreciate the vulnerability and the openness that you all have shared, and I think our folks are looking forward to that. I reminded Pastor Ron that we are, as a local church, always looking for ways to get involved in things that matter in the community. And having worked myself with a number of organizations, both out of state and in the area, I can tell you that the needs for mentoring young men are great, and they need help and they need prayer. So we look forward to what you have to say. Pastor Ron, please come. The time is yours.
Come on, I got to get on my game. There we go. So great to be back at this house, worshiping with you this time. And we had a great time in Sunday school, and just God just shared his heart, you know, for the redemption of mankind. And I love the fact that you guys have an emphasis on missions. And we're all missionaries, you know that. We've all been called ministers of God and ministers of reconciliation. And so our ministry scripture at Western Michigan Adult and Teen Challenge is 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have been passed away, and all things have become new." And so we live a new transformed life in Jesus Christ. And for those of you that don't know what Teen Challenge is, or Adult and Teen Challenge, is it's a faith-based drug and alcoholism rehabilitation discipleship program. And I know that's a mouthful, but if I could like take you guys on a tour, it would explain it so much easier. But let me give you like three mental pictures of what Adult and Teen Challenge is. First thing that I always equate Adult and Teen Challenge is to like a greenhouse, a spiritual greenhouse, to where we take these young infants in the Lord, and I said former drug addicts and alcoholics, because the initial introduction is to Jesus Christ, and he is the meaning, the reason, the foundation for transformation. And so so we take them and we plant them in the soil of God's word, and there we just shine a bunch of light on it and water it, and there's some pruning that goes on. Tender care is given in this greenhouse. And so I would say the second picture that I owe is like a spiritual hospital, to where there's healing that's going on, and there's realignment of fractures or things that have popped out of joint, and that's just an atmosphere of healing, to where they get nurturing and they get care, and there's a little bit of, now let's get out and let's stretch that a little bit, you know, so there's some rehabilitation that goes along with it. How many of you guys have ever been to rehabilitation? It's a treat, isn't it? And they're like getting things to move and function, and still with care, but they're going to push us a little bit beyond the comfort zone, right? And that's good for mobility. That's good for getting the body moving again. And so in the spirit realm, it's the same way. And so there's this tender nurturing going on, but we're going to push them a little bit. We're going to draw them into their giftings and callings. There might be a little bit of correction and strengthening that's going on. I'd say the third image that I like to, and you'll probably hear this one come up a little bit today, but the third image or atmosphere that I would say Teen Challenge is a spiritual boot camp. And so in that place is there's a lot of, you got to forget the old man, and you got to understand that we're in a new army now, and there's new expectations, and that there's new formation in unity. There's new formation in you're not a self-seeking individual any longer. You live at a greater cause for a greater purpose, and it's a purpose way outside yourself. So with that environment comes some discipline, and it's structure, and it's up in the morning, and the first thing, we make our own food, and we clean up after ourselves, and there's showers, and then we go to chapel. We go to chapel 5 times a week. How many of you guys are in church twice a week or 3 times a week anymore? I remember when we grew up, man, we were in church like 4 times a week. You know, you had Wednesday night service, and then you had youth group, and then you had Royal Rangers, or, you know, what I don't know what your, you know, program was called at this church, but we called them Royal Runts, and it was great, you know, or they had daisies, I think, for the girls, you know, and then you went to church Sunday morning and Sunday night. Only the righteous went Sunday night, you know, and so we were in church all the time. That was our normal. And so we are in experiencing God's presence five times a week in chapel. And then we have 2 hours of biblical studies. And then we have lunch. We make our own lunch. We clean up after ourselves. There's a little bit of time to where we can just decompress. And then we go into either work study or work duty. Work study is a micro enterprise that we've started at Teen Challenge. And it's a place for them to learn how to work, learn in more of a manufacturing right now is our first micro enterprise. And so there's assembly, disassembly, and it's piecework, so there's a little bit of pressure applied with it, you know, but we're looking at quality assurance, we're looking at systems analysis, time studies, but it's really where we're learning how to work as a team around a table to be encouraging and edifying one another. And so it's a lot of fun, but it's at the same time, it's work. And so for about 8 months, you can learn how to do a skilled trade, and we're going to be doing monthly evaluations. And so by the time you're done with us, you'll have a little bit of credible, solid work history, and we can be a good recommendation for you. We've already had probably two or three people that have called on behalf of a company and said, hey, would you refer so-and-so that has gone through your program? We would love to give you, you know, a great just review. And man, we would recommend them to work for you. So we've gotten probably two or three people employed that have graduated out of Teen Challenge now. And so, well, that's work study. Well, we also have work duty to where if you're in lower growth or in population that's not in work study, we got to steward our own facility that God's given us. And we have two campuses. And so we have 35 acres for our men's facility that needs to be maintained and taken care of. And if it's God's blessing, we steward it. We get the gift of stewarding, whether it's mowing or snow removal or painting or cleaning or washing. Or we have, I don't know, like 15 vehicles that need to be maintained. And so we're just taking care of what God's given us. And so after that, then we have dinner and then clean up. And then after that is study hall and prayer, and then we have dorm life. And that's about a half hour to where we can just decompress and be still and know that he is God. And God, what'd you say to me today? And then we journal it, and at 10:05, it's lights out. And so and then we get up the next day, and we get to do it all over again for the glory of our God. And we get to learn more things about who he is, what he's called us to. And God's really asked me to, you know, minister three things to our student body. It's identity in Christ and who you are, what God's uniquely crafted you to be, and what's your design. And then, well, what's the nature of Christ? What's his character look like? So that's the fruit of the Spirit. And so we're looking at all nine through and how to incorporate that and apply that to our life. And so that makes us character-wise with consistent and congruent with Scripture and the nature of Jesus. Well, after that, then God, I was like, okay, now we have God's identity, Christ's identity, and now we got the character of Christ. And God said, well, now you got to teach them how to fight. So that's combat. And I'm like, teach them how to fight? Well, fight the right way and the right opposition. Because we don't fight against flesh and blood. We don't fight against each other. I fight for you. I don't fight against you. I fight against the principalities that are trying to steal what Jesus has purchased for us. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and that we could have it to the full. And the devil wants to take that from you. Everything, all the ground that you've gained, the devil wants to rob you or deceive you or supplant you out of that. And so God's like, you got to teach him how to contend for the faith. I said, okay, I will do that. And so that's what we get to do. And so typically that's what my chapel services are. And that's just a great benefit. But I'm also stepping back into the classroom. I really felt like this year was a lot of processes and systems and donor relations. And so just getting our feet under us with some new things that God's asked me to bring to an amazing foundation of Teen Challenge. And so the first thing that we did this year is we developed an internship program, a 1- and 2-year internship program. Year one is emerging leaders. And so how do we develop them in leadership and send them back to a local church ready to do the work of the ministry? And that can be in administrations, tech, AV, grounds and maintenance, counseling, or preaching and teaching. in a classroom and coming alongside, you know, like student bodies or student ministries, something like that. Year two is School of Ministry. If you feel like you're called to full-time ministry, then you stay on, and we're partnering with North Point Bible College, Cornerstone University, and they're all partnering with us, and North Point's actually offered us scholarships and grants to where our year two student can actually go for free. And so they're just called to ministry, and they want to stay on. And I would say three of our five pastors are actually graduates of Teen Challenge. And so they stay on, they stay with us. And some come back. They'll go and serve in a church or serve in community, and they'll come back to us and serve at Teen Challenge because there's just this kindred connection where God met you, changed you, and restored you. You just want to give back. And sometimes God calls back our graduates, and it's a lot of fun to work with them as well. So that's our internship program. And if you want to, we have interns and externs. And so if you're like, man, I would love to go through an internship process, our internship process is second to none. I have doctors that come in and teach our classes. I have professors that come in and teach our classes. Some of our own ministers out of our local area come in and teach our classes. And power evangelism, systematic theology, Old Testament, New Testament survey, the book of Hebrews, power evangelism, power to change, leadership classes. We're having John Maxwell teachers coming, and so they come in and teach our interns, and they walk away with a certificate. So there's a lot that's gone on at Teen Challenge. And so if you're interested in an internship, we need help. If you're looking for a job, please look at our job board. We have a couple of spots that we need, like grounds and maintenance. We need a coordinator post haste. And so we need one of them. And there's just opportunities if you guys are looking. We just had a church come in yesterday that built walls for us, interior walls at our women's campus. And in 4 hours, we had walls built. They're drywalled. They're ready for finished mud. And so it was fun. And the guys just got to show their partnership, and they just got to do something that they do on an everyday basis and give it to the Lord. And so if you want to consider us for local missions, for projects, we are way open to having churches come in and come alongside of us and help, okay? I could tell you this about this program and just brag on what God does day in, day out. I think Friday we had two people born again in chapel. We have them water baptized in once a month. And so I know a gal got water baptized Friday as well. And so God's just on the move, and we're just trying to keep up. And I'm just leading from my knees, and I love it. Okay? How many of you guys would love to hear what God's doing in the life of our students? And so let's have the four guys that didn't share come up. And why don't you guys just go two on each side of me. And man, I love... And I spend as much time as I can with the guys right now. Like I said, it's been a different year, planning and strategizing and partnering with local, whether it's ministries or businesses. And man, it's just been a blast. But I love doing life with these guys. And Malcolm, why don't you tell the congregation where God found you and what's happening today?
Hello, everybody. My name is Malcolm. I'm 35 years old, just turned 35. Me and Pastor got the same birthday. but I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I was really, really bad on crack cocaine. Did many other things as well, but really, really bad on crack cocaine. This would be my third time doing Teen Challenge. The other two times that I did Teen Challenge, I didn't complete the program. The longest that I stayed in it was about, 3 weeks. Now I think I'm at like my ninth week, and I'm fully involved and engaged. So this go around, outside of the other two go arounds, I was like, man, I don't want to do this because, you know, I had so much obligation I felt like on the outside. I was a functioning crack addict. You know, I could function and make everything still happen. But it was really taking a toll of my life, and I just wasn't, I just didn't want it no more. My family, they tried to set up boundaries and set up things and like boundaries so that I wouldn't continue to do drugs. But at the same time, then what I would do is I would just go over them boundaries. They couldn't stop me, you know, so I said I had to stop myself. So this time with the inside of me stopping myself, I said, well, I'm going to go to Teen Challenge. And they suggested that I go to one out of town so I wouldn't have the same resources in the places. And the things that I just learned here at WMATC, I think I said it right, but ATC, was that one, you know, not to move before God. The Bible said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, I would fear no evil. I was very fearful because I wasn't walking. I was trying to run through the program. I was trying to get done, get it over with, and move out. And, you know, in Jeremiah 29:10, it says that, for thus says the Lord, when the 70 years has been completed, then I will visit you and perform my good word to you and then return you to this place. I was trying to do things outside of God's time, and I was really missing the blessing that he was having over my life. And now I'm learning more, and I'm growing more in God through Christ Jesus. And I really need this program. And without people like you guys who give and donate, we pray every day for donation, food, and the soul being. But more than anything, I'm just praying for a complete change in my life with God, and it's been working. He's been working, and I've just been submitting to it. That's it.
Fantastic. That's so good. I love the fact that you differentiated. You can either just do time, or you can be immersed in what God has for you for this year and just learn everything and just be still and know that he is God. So good. Excellent. This is Luke. Luke, tell us about where God found you.
My name is Luke Coleman. I'm 39 years old. I grew up in Southwest Missouri, probably the furthest away in the program. But I grew up in a really good Christian family. My mom and dad are really good people. Just grew up in the ways of the Lord. When I was about 4 or 5 years old, my parents, you know, didn't know about this till I was 30. But I was molested when I was younger. But I'd say this happened probably 4 to 5 months. I don't really know. I was really young, but you don't forget something like that. And that really affected me growing up. And I guess you should say I just kind of held that in my entire life. I didn't let the Lord heal that when I was younger, and I just kind of dealt with it. But going through grade school, I had a lot of identity issues. I had a lot of insecurities, overwhelming amount of inhibition growing up, just self-conscious. I struggled going through school. I got held back whenever I was in first grade. And that led to a lot of mocking, being made fun of. And after a while, I just kind of lost my identity of who I really was. You know, growing up in church, I tell people that I knew Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I never knew him as my Lord over my life. And there's a distinct difference between the two. And when I was about 11 years old, I remember I was praying one time. And I was at this time, I really drew to the Lord whenever I was in middle school, I believe. And I prayed to the Lord. I said, Heavenly Father, I said, I will do anything you want me to do in my life. I will do anything, go anywhere you wanted me to go. And at that time, I was really sincere in my heart. And God honored that prayer because I didn't realize in the moment that the Lord had called me into the ministry. But in the same moment, growing up in the church, I was kind of terrified of it. I didn't really want to do it. I didn't really want to fulfill that calling all my life. And when I was about, I would say 22 years old, I wound up going to college. I was 22 years old. I got into drugs really bad. There's a hole in everybody's heart, and I believe that we're created that way. People try to fill it with anything they can, whether if it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's promiscuity, whatever it is, they try to fill it. But the only thing that really will fill a man's soul is Jesus Christ. Yeah. Nothing else will do it. And I was just trying to fill that void in my heart. And I wound up getting into drug addiction, opioids, stuff like that. This continued for probably about 8 years of my life. And when I got into methamphetamine, that's when things really dropped off the deep end. Meth is a horrible drug. It's really big where I come from. I'm a country boy from Southwest Missouri, and it's huge out there. And when I got to that point, I got to the point where it got so bad, I wound up stealing money off my parents. I wound up just doing things I never thought I'd ever wind up doing. And I lost hope. Because I had tried to come off of drug addiction. I tried to do a methadone clinic. That made the problem worse 10 times. The only thing that can really truly deliver a man is Jesus Christ. Yeah. Nothing else can. Mm-hmm. And I wind up I overdosed 3 times and got to the point where I was going to commit suicide. And I did it on several occasions. And one occasion, I remember I grabbed my father's .357 Magnum pistol and I loaded it up with wad cutter self-defense rounds. And I was spinning it on the table. and I was contemplating on killing myself. And at that moment, my parents came home, and I put the gun away. On several occasions, I was going to run my car off in a river, and I didn't do it. And I was driving home one night, contemplating on how to kill myself. I was crying. I was just driving down the road. I had drugs all over my pocket and everything, and I was high as could be. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord. I never heard the Spirit of the Lord on methamphetamine before, because I was always so high, but I heard the voice of the Lord speak to me. It was the voice of the Lord. The Lord said, there's nothing that you can do that'll cause me to love you less than what I love you right now. And at that moment, things, I didn't know it at the time, but at that moment, things started changing, because it's the goodness of the Lord's what draws all men to repentance, right?
Yeah.
And I heard about Teen Challenge through a friend. I came up here. She said it's strict, it's discipline. And I was like, well, if it was easy, it wouldn't be worth getting, right? At that point, I was just done. I came up here. I graduated the program. I did good. I stayed on staff for a while. And I was still running from the calling God had on my life, though. It terrified me. I didn't want to go into the ministry, you know, and I wound up running away from that. And when I got out of the will of God, it was very apparent to me through the last 8 years I was here. As soon as I stepped away from that, things just fell apart. I didn't have to do anything for things to go bad. I didn't have to get into drugs for things to go bad. I was just outside of God's will. Finally, I came to the point, I'm like, all right, Lord, I'm done. I'm done running. I come up here, got back in the program. Things are different for me this time. I'm a restoration. I am eternally grateful for what God's done in my life.
Yeah.
Many of my friends who graduated fell back into the sin, and they're no longer alive. So I am very grateful for what God's done in my life. And God's granted me a lot of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
This time in the program, the biggest change that I've ever made was is I have learned to sacrifice my personal time for the Lord, because that's when the breakthroughs have happened in my life during this time period.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at right now, man. I've felt better than I've ever felt. I just want to thank you people for supporting us, because I didn't have anything when I came up here both occasions. And I just thank Jesus Christ for what he's done. He could have called a legion of angels down to destroy the earth 50 times over if he wanted to, but he didn't, because he loved us. So thank you.
Amen. Good, good, good. Let's have Anthony go.
Good morning.
Good morning.
God found me when I was lost, broken, and at the end of my road. This morning, if you would have been at the Sunday service that we started, Pastor Ron had mentioned that there would be a fatherless generation. I am a product of that generation. I was raised in a single mother's home in the inner city. I'm from Elkhart, Indiana. I was expected to be a man when I was still a little boy. I was enabled to do things to help take care of my family. I sold drugs at a young age. I was gang affiliated, and I ultimately just did whatever I had to do to help my mom put food on the table. And God wasn't present in my home. Transaction was. So as long as what I was doing brought money, it was okay. And so when I became involved with gangs and brought guns home and became lived a lifestyle that wasn't necessarily meant for me, it was okay. I've had an identity problem for a long time. I didn't know where I fit in the world because I never really had a man to tell me who I was or what I was supposed to do. I met my father when I was like 7 years old. My mom went to prison and I was forced to live with him. And so I wrestled with the idea of God because I didn't understand that how a man could want better for me, but the one that had brought me into this world beat me and didn't want me. So I wrestled with the idea of God for most of my life, but I can remember every time that I wanted peace or needed comfort. Even when I was a little boy, I would find myself hiding in a room, and I would be reading the Bible, but I didn't necessarily understand what I was reading. And I had this knowledge of God that if I prayed to Him, that He would be faithful and He would protect me. And throughout the years, He has. Even though I never really seeked a relationship with Him. About a year ago, I've spent most of my adult life in the penitentiary. I have spent most of my entire life in active addiction. My mom, when she got home from prison, she was diagnosed with a bunch of psych stuff. And she used to give me her medication because she thought whatever afflicted her was my problem too. So I would take the things that I liked and I would sell the things that I didn't like that she gave me at school. So I have been in active addiction most of my life. And drugs were a way that I coped. I never really told anybody about the abuse or the sexual abuse or the abandonment issues or trust issues that I had. I just used drugs to cope and go through the world in a numb state. About a year ago, I got in trouble, and I was getting ready to go back to prison. I finally started getting on my knees and fasting and praying and please, like, ask God to help me change. Like, I don't know how to be different. I don't know how to do something different because this is all I know. But I don't want to live like this anymore. And a friend of mine that graduated this program brought Teen Challenge up and told me that it was a life-changing experience, that I should really keep it in mind. So I filled out the paperwork, and April 8th, I went to go get sentenced, and I was looking to go back to prison for 18 months. And I had wrote up a letter, and I asked the judge to do something different that we hadn't done, because I've survived prison, and I've survived jail, and that's been my second home most of my life. And he laughed at me, and he told me that 18 months in prison would be easier than the year program in Teen Challenge, because what we do at Teen Challenge is hard, and the rules were something that I wouldn't be able to do. I am halfway through the program. God has restored the relationships that are meaningful in my life. Teen Challenge being there gave me an opportunity to be there at the hospital room when my son was born. He was born May 21st. His mom brings him to see me once a month. This program has changed everything. We are, all of us are from a different walk of life. We are all different personalities. We all come from different backgrounds. We're given a lot of grace. Pastor Ron has showed me a lot of grace. I didn't know how to be a man. This program, through the Bible and what we're taught, gives us a foundation to be better, to strive for something better. It gives us an environment that I've never been used to. We talk about the Bible and God every day. I've never experienced this in my life. I've never trusted a man before in my life because my mom had a knack for picking men that would abuse me as much as they would abuse her, and my father abused me. So coming in here, I have 30 brothers. I have men that I have learned to look up to, that I've been open-minded to, and actually, this place has changed my life. If it wasn't for churches and people that come alongside this place and stand with us, this change in my life wouldn't have been possible. So from the bottom of my heart, I would like to tell you guys thank you very much, because without this place, I wouldn't have the opportunity to be the man that my son needs me to be. Thank you.
Come on. And this is RJ.
Hi, I'm RJ. So I just want to apologize. Sometimes we get emotional. I'd rather eat nails than think about my past. So last December, I committed a felony and got caught. And with my record, that means prison time. I wasn't going to go. I decided to commit suicide using fentanyl after the New Year's party that I had at my place. I woke up in the hospital in critical care, didn't remember who I was or how I got there right away. Eventually remembered my mom's phone number, called her. She came to visit me while I was there. And seeing her see me in that state kind of broke me inside. But I still went right back to the drugs, right back to the lifestyle as soon as I got out of the hospital. And committed some more felonies, and I was going on the run. I was going to go down to Texas, and I called my mom on the way. That phone call was on a Friday. Or no, that was earlier in the week. She came and picked me up on Friday, and then I was in Teen Challenge on Monday. Ever since I've been there, it's been mercy after mercy, grace after grace. God loves us so much, and I didn't think it was possible to be able to live a life worth living. I didn't really see a future outside of drugs and fast food restaurants to supply my habit. So I'm learning how to live for him, and we do a lot of scripture memorization, and I like James 4:17. It's a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. And then I go to Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But for me, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to live my life for God now, because all he's done for me.
Amen. Amen, RJ. So these are just, you know, four, seven examples of what God's doing on the daily, and it's such a privilege and honor to champion what God is doing, you know, and man, it takes faith. And if it, to make a difference, to fulfill the Great Commission, it just takes faith and takes courage. And he's looking for those that will say, yes, I will. I'll go. And I was just reading through Exodus in my devotions, and is it okay if I just hallmark two things? This is Moses. He has an encounter with God at a burning bush, and God says, I've heard my people's cry. I've seen their slavery. I've seen their oppression. I've heard their cries and how harsh the slave drivers are. And how many of you guys know that the devil, serving the devil's hard? It's hard time. It's labor. And God has seen it. And so I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them. He says, I'm aware of their suffering. So God has seen, he's heard, he's aware of what's going on. And then he says, I've come down to rescue. And God is a rescuer. And here's what's fantastic to me. Moses is hiding out, essentially, on the backside of the desert, and he's shepherding at the time. He's been trained in the finest schools. He's been trained in military as a statistician, as a strategic military power. I mean, he has all of the training, but he's racked in fear because of one indiscretion. And so he's a shepherd. You know, and so in this current situation, God calls him and he says, I'm going to lead you to Pharaoh, and this is to your own people first and then to Pharaoh. And all of a sudden he's racked in all this fear again, you know. He says, well, I don't even know who I am, let alone who I'm going to represent you as and to the greatest mind in the world at the time. And God says, I'll be with you. He has this one assurance outside of who am I to appear before, who am I to lead the people out of Israel? He says, I'm with you. And scripture goes on, and the story progresses, and he just says, tell them the I am has sent you. Tell them that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has met you and told you to do this. And so in chapter 4, Moses protests again, but what if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord's never appeared to you? And then the Lord asked him, what's in your hand? And I think the Lord's asking us in America today, what's in your hand right now? What are you currently doing? I mean, at the time, he's a shepherd. And so a staff is perfectly acceptable. It's the most natural thing that he has. But what's in your hand? Maybe I'm a plumber. Maybe I'm a doctor. Maybe I'm a lawyer. Maybe I'm an accountant. Maybe I'm a woodworker. But whatever's in your hand, God wants to take it and make it supernatural. Because what does he ask him to do with it? What's in your hip? He said, well, it's a shepherd's staff, Moses replied. He said, throw it down on the ground. And so as he threw it down on the ground, it turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. And I think what the Lord's asking us to do is whatever is in your hand, whatever he's called you to do in this current moment, just lay it down before him. Just throw it down and see, don't fear it, but once he's asked you to pick it back up, know that it's going to be a tool in the hand of God. Don't treat it as common. Don't treat it as normal, because God's going to put his super on your natural, and it's going to be for the deliverance of somebody else. And then he says, okay. He goes, now take your hand and put it in your coat. Well, what's that hand used for typically in shepherding? It's to lead, it's to nurture, it's care for sheep, right? It's to clean and swab their ears out so fleas don't get in and drive sheep crazy. So it's this very same hand of nurture and compassion. He says, now if you tuck that away, now pull it out, now it's leprous. So make sure that, and then he says, take that same hand again, now put it back in and pull it out, and it's perfectly clean. And as I was looking at that, I'm like, Lord, I never want to take my compassion, my nurturing, my tender hand of guidance and put it away. In my own strength, in my own power, in my own capabilities. Father, I want you to pull that out, and I want you to make it perfectly natural and normal and supernatural. I want that to be the thing that, whether it's students or people in the community, that's what they experience, is the compassion and nurturing of God with God's stamp on it this time. And then he goes through all these gyrations and all the excuses and all the negotiations. I can't speak. I can't even communicate. You were schooled in the finest schools of the land. And he pleaded, Lord, I'm not very good with words. And so finally he's negotiating, and God said, okay, I'll set your brother up as your spokesman, but you're my man. You're my representative. And so he agreed to it, and God actually became angry with him. And so finally, with after this agreement, and as this intention of faith to step out, there was this assurance that God gave him. Moses said, I don't even know if they are still alive, the people that he came up against. And so God said, go in peace. Or Jethro said, go in peace. Before Moses left Midian, the Lord said to him, return to Egypt, for all those who wanted to kill you have died. There's the assurance that he needed. And so Moses took his wife, his sons, and put them on a donkey and headed back to the land of Egypt. And in his hand, he carried the staff of God. I thought it was just a shepherd's staff. Now God himself calls it the staff of God. It turns our normal interactions, our supernatural plumbing, or our activity of what we feel like we're doing, he takes the mundane and puts his stamp on it. He says, now you're a plumber of God. Now you're an accountant of God. Now you're a nurse of God. Now you're in the school system, and you are God ordained to be there to be deliverers. In this missions month, I want to call you to be missionaries for a very righteous and holy God, because America needs deliverance. America, the deliverer is coming, and his name is Jesus Christ. But even John the Baptist was called the way maker. He prepared the way of the Lord. So as one church, I'm talking about the Big C church in America, and Robinson Baptist is included in that, but let's be way makers, because the deliverer is coming. And each and every one of us need hope and freedom that's found in God. And I don't know about you, but I can't withhold my voice, because the goodness of the God, I'm dwelling in the land of the living right now. Okay? All right. I hope you guys were blessed by, you know, Teen Challenges Ministry. I know we're blessed by you guys. Pastor? Joe? All right. Let's find our seats.
Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate your courage to share your stories and the story of the ministry. Thank you very much. We're going to transition into a time of fellowship before the table here. Would you stand with me as we sing, "Search Me, O God"? Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and sin.